Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday show for you. So yesterday here in New York, I'm not kidding when I say it was 60 degrees. So that is quite unlike February. And February is obviously supposed to be significantly colder than 60 degrees. I mean, that's, again, 60 is like off the charts. Fast forward to today, and now it's a blizzard, and there's a foot of snow on the ground. Yeah. I've never seen such a wild swing in my entire life. I mean, it seriously went from 60 degrees to now there's a blizzard, and there's a foot of snow on the ground, and it's super windy, and it looks like something out of a movie. It looks like, what's it called? The Day After Tomorrow, I think it was called. That's what it looks like. So, strange. Strange things happening. But how's everybody doing today? I'm doing just peachy, except for the fact that the country's going down the tubes. I have some unfortunate stories for you on that front. We're obviously going to talk about Jeff Sessions. In fact, I want to spend a significant amount of time on Jeff Sessions because his record requires a comprehensive breakdown and a really strong and long explanation as to why he's such a disaster for the country. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Jeff Sessions was confirmed to be the next Attorney General. And that's as bad as it gets. It's basically the last person you would ever want to be Attorney General is going to become Attorney General. So yay, funsies, except not. Also, I have a new poll out on Trump's agenda, new Quinnipiac poll, where they go into detail about, you know, what do the American people feel in terms of the direction he's taken the country. Some interesting stuff in there. And then we have Donald Trump attacks Nordstrom, even though he's president, because of what they're allegedly doing to his daughter. And the list goes on and on. Later, if we have some time, I got a throwback clip for you. I haven't done a throwback in quite a while, but hopefully we'll get to it. We'll see. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started here, and we're going to do that with the one, the only, the disastrous, the terrible, Jeff Sessions. Okay. Jeff Sessions was approved to be Attorney General last night. He won with, or I should say he got approved with, 52 votes. So Joe Manchin is a blue dog Democrat from West Virginia, which basically means he's a Republican. He's a Democrat from a deeply red state, so he runs basically as a Republican with the title Democrat. And he voted for Jeff Sessions. He's basically public enemy number one, or Democratic enemy number one, if you're interested in making the Democratic Party great again, if you'll excuse the phrase. He all the time crosses over and votes with Republicans, and there should be consequences for that. And by the way, I don't believe the argument that, well, you have to run a right-wing Democrat in West Virginia, because that's just how West Virginia is. Well, why don't you just try to run an actual liberal? When you actually give people that option, it turns out they like those ideas. As I told everybody the other day, Bernie Sanders actually won in the primary in states like Kentucky. He actually won overwhelmingly with people who described themselves as more conservative, because labels are largely irrelevant and people don't really know what they mean. It's just a matter of, hey, the specific issues you're talking about, the specific policies you're pushing for, do people like those individual policies? And when you have somebody who says, I'm going to defend Medicare, I'm not going to back down on that. I'm going to raise the minimum wage, I'm not going to back down on that. I want to end these stupid wars, I'm not going to back down on that. People go, oh, I like that. Let's have Medicare for all. I like that idea. People go, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it doesn't, the labels are irrelevant. And this idea that you have to have shitty Democrats is just not the case. But Joe Manchin was the only one, the one Democrat who voted for Jeff Sessions to become Attorney General. So the others stuck together, but it still wasn't enough. He got approved with 52 votes. Now, what I want to do here is take some time and go through Jeff Sessions' record with you, because, you know, I was noticing it on Twitter last night. The main, you know, thing people were saying against Jeff Sessions is like, well, you know, it's obviously a disaster that this guy's approved. He's racist. That actually happens to be true when you look at his record and you look at the policies he pushed for. But as I'm reading it, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of an average voter who's kind of apolitical, maybe leans somewhat conservative, but doesn't know much about, you know, Jeff Sessions specifically, or doesn't know much about what these guys stand for and what they voted for. And I'm thinking, I don't think that line of attack when you're talking about Jeff Sessions is enough. I don't think, you know, if you bring that up, people, at a certain point, some people are going to roll their eyes and go, oh, okay, so this guy's, you know, racist. Heard that one before. You know, almost every Republican was called racist, so that's not a, like, I don't know what that means. That's not enough to, for me to say, I'm convinced he's racist, number one. Number two, he obviously should have been prevented from becoming Attorney General. So I want to do a comprehensive breakdown that really explains, based on policy, why this guy should be nowhere near any position of power. Now, first and foremost, understand, Jeff Sessions was up for a federal judge position in the late 1980s. He was rejected then by Republicans, because Republicans said, yeah, you know, his record's not too good, and he's got some questionable things regarding race in his background. So even 1980s Republicans were like, ooh, yeah, not sure. I think this guy's too toxic. But now that guy's Attorney General. So let's go ahead here and dig even more into his record, because I think this is super important. But putting that aside, let's look at his actual votes. So, of course, he was he's a senator, and he was in the House of Representatives. And when he was there, he voted against stem cell research. So that shows you right up front, science, schmience, I'm an ideologue, and I care about being against abortion, so you can take your science and shove it. I'm not interested. Forget about potential cures for people who are sick. I'm not on board with that. He voted to ban women from crossing state lines to get an abortion. So not only is he anti-abortion, he's from Alabama, he's a senator from Alabama, not only is he saying, hey, look, I'm anti-abortion in Alabama, he's anti-abortion at a federal level, and he says, even if a woman from Alabama says, look, I got to get this done, and they go to cross state borders to get it done elsewhere because Alabama won't do it, he goes, no, I want that to be illegal. Unbelievable. He has a 0% rating from NARAL, which indicates an anti-abortion record 100% of the time. He has never voted for anything that can be conceived as for reproductive rights. Think about that. So that means even stuff like the pill. He's like, oh, I don't know. Looks like you're killing babies to me. So this guy is incredibly far right wing. He voted no on the stimulus package. Remember, bailout being something different from stimulus. Bailout is, okay, Wall Street, we're your bitch, and here, loot the treasury. Stimulus, of course, being, hey, let's try to do something for the people in the midst of this great recession. Of course he voted no on the stimulus. He voted no on reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act. Really, Jeff? Really? So the Violence Against Women Act has a bunch of provisions in there that have saved lives. It's a great bill. Like, there's a hotline, for example, a domestic abuse hotline, where, you know, women have called it in moments of desperation, and I mean, it's a piece of legislation that's vital. And the reason why he opposed the reauthorization of it, get this, is that the reauthorization included provisions that say, you know, we oppose violence against women even for the LGBTQ community and for Native Americans. He's like, oh, come on now, that's big government overreach. I'm fine with protecting the women folk, but if y'all include the Native Americans and y'all include the LGBTQ people, well, I can't be on board with that now. Come on, do they even count as women? Where I'm from, they ain't women. Come on, Jeff. What? Vote a no on the Violence Against Women Act. Who does that? Republicans do that. That's who does that. He voted yes on banning flag burning. Now, this one we should dive deeper into because, understand, so you had Donald Trump, who paid lip service to this recently because there were some college protesters who were burning a flag, and he said, oh, there should be punishment for this. Hillary Clinton, back when she was in the Senate, she did the goofy I'm bipartisan thing and was agreed to and supported a bill that would have criminalized flag burning. I don't give a fuck which party's pushing for it and which politician is pushing for it. It is an idea that is fundamentally against the First Amendment and free speech and free expression and free protest. In fact, it is the go-to example of something that might feel uncomfortable to some people to watch, but it is squarely in the middle of what is free speech. Even Justice Antonin Scalia, the far-right loon who thinks the devil is real, even he was like, look, I don't like it when people burn flags, but you know what? This is what America's about. They have the freedom to burn the flag. That is a legitimate form of political protest. So, but Jeff Sessions says, no, I don't. First Amendment, my ass cheeks. You have a right to act as I want you to act. You have a right to protest as I want you to protest. You have a right to say what I want you to say. It doesn't go beyond that. I'm going to stand up against it, and I'm going to try to crack down on you and try to make it illegal if you do stuff I don't like. Now this guy is the top lawyer in the country, a guy who doesn't understand the First Amendment is the top lawyer in the country. Votes yes on punishment for flag burning. I mean, you want to talk about the ultimate, are you triggered? Is that a microaggression against you? Do you need a safe space, Jeff Sessions? Because your feelings are hurt because somebody said I'm mad at America and they burned a flag? So, come on. It's amazing that this guy got through when, on virtually every issue, guys, I went through his entire voting record last night. I struggled to find one good thing. I'm not kidding. And I actually did end up finding one. You ready for this? Talk about damning with faint praise. He voted when, under George W. Bush, was the last minimum wage increase. It went from $5.15, I think, to $7.25. He voted for that. So I said, oh, okay, thank God. So he voted properly once on one bill regarding the minimum wage. Guess what? Right next to that, you keep reading, he voted against minimum wage increases two or three other times. So he's one of the most conservative members of the Senate. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. He also voted yes on a constitutional ban of gay marriage. So this isn't just, hey, I'm against gay marriage, and if it comes up for a vote, I'm going to be against it. No, it's not just that. He says, let's amend the Constitution to say, no gay marriage, no gay marriage, no gay marriage. I mean, this is Christian Taliban type shit. Wanted to make it so concrete and say, we never want to change this, so we're going to put it in the Constitution. I mean, think about, when you talk about a constitutional amendment, that's only reserved for the most important of issues, which is why we talk about, for example, getting money out of politics, and that being the best avenue to get money out of politics, because it's the most permanent way to fix it. He wanted to put, fuck gay people. He wanted to put, no gay marriage, no equal rights, in the Constitution. Okay, more. He voted yes on expanded NSA spying. He repeatedly voted yes on allowing more wiretapping without specific warrants. So this guy, again, top lawyer in the country, believes in the police state, believes in the surveillance state, believes in an authoritarian executive branch. Clear as day. Clear as day. This really gets me so mad because Jeff Sessions is like the last person who should ever be attorney general, and he's approved. He voted no on adding the LGBTQ community to hate crimes protections. Now, look, I get it that there's disagreement between, should there even be such a thing as hate crimes, because then you're getting into, like, thought crimes, and that's a little weird. So I understand that there's a lively debate going on that front. But I think we can all agree that you're going to have hate crimes. Like, if that's going to be a thing, well, yeah, shouldn't you have the LGBTQ community as part of the protected classes? Shouldn't they be right there, along for protections for race and religion and things of that nature? I mean, come on, man. All right, I got more for you. Oh, buckle up for these next numbers here. He got a grade of 20% from the ACLU, indicating he opposes civil liberties 80% of the time. He got a grade of 7% from the NAACP. I wonder if it's fair to say he's anti-black in his voting record. From the Human Rights Campaign, he got a grade of 0. The Human Rights Campaign is a group that tracks votes in regards to the LGBTQ community. So that means he voted against the LGBTQ community 100% of the time. There was not a single vote that was in favor of that community. He got graded 14% by one group of unions, a union group, and then he also got rated 0% by a different union group, so indicating he almost always sides with management and the CEOs and the owner class, never with the workers, rarely with the workers, best case scenario, 14% of the time with the workers. He was graded 20% by the NEA, which indicates an anti-public education record, so he voted against public schools 80% of the time. And there was one other number here. Oh, he voted for 75% of the so-called free trade deals, which are just outsourcing deals, which also, by the way, is a giant middle finger to Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, that's the one issue where he was fairly populist, and one issue where he kind of stuck to his word and he slapped down TPP. Jeff Sessions says, no, he voted for 75%. He supported 75% of all the disastrous trade deals that ripped away manufacturing from this country. Unbelievable. Okay, more. He voted no on repealing tax subsidies for companies which move jobs overseas. You couldn't get an easier bill that shows you somebody's true colors. Seriously, think about that. They're proposing a bill. Somebody proposes a bill, presumably a Democrat, keep it real, probably Bernie Sanders. And the bill said, look, how about, very simple, to incentivize companies to stay here in the U.S., how about we just remove tax subsidies, which is a fancy schmancy way of saying, a corporate welfare check. How about we stop giving corporate welfare checks to companies that move jobs overseas? Easiest bill in the world. Do you want to incentivize job growth here in the U.S. and job creation here in the U.S.? Well, if you agree with that and you really care about your fellow Americans, of course you vote yes on that. He voted no. He voted no, which means he's fine with businesses shipping jobs overseas and screwing over the American people as he pretends to be for the little guy. He voted yes on increasing penalties for drug offenses. We're not just talking about your typical drug warrior here. Your typical drug warrior says what? Okay, just keep the drug war as is. What are you going to do? It is what it is. That's it. Hey, drugs are illegal. Drugs are bad. Let's stop with doing the drugs. They'll make me put you in jail or lock you up for it. But we'll leave it as is. Jeff Sessions says no. He's a true Kool-Aid drinker, a true ideologue. He argues let's increase penalties for drug offenses. He has the famous quote, guys. We've brought it up a million times because it shows you the kind of person he is. It shows you his character, and it shows you how he doesn't believe in freedom and liberty, even though he might claim he does. He said, good people don't smoke marijuana. Think about that. You know people who smoke weed. I know people who smoke weed. I've smoked weed a few times. It's not my favorite drug. But I know wonderful people who smoke marijuana. The idea that in his mind, well, that impugns your character. You smoke marijuana. Does it with alcohol, Jeff? How about caffeine? How about a Monster Energy drink? How about some prescription pills from the doctor? This guy is brainwashed by the culture he was raised in. And he was taught growing up in Alabama. By the way, he's named after Jefferson Davis. No red flags there, head of the Confederacy. Growing up in Alabama, he was taught, you know, weed is bad, and that's what bad people smoke, and that's a bad drug. Anyway, go get me another Budweiser, son. That's not fair. I know nothing about his parents, other than that they named him Jefferson Davis, which means fuck them. This is backwards thinking. This is primitive thinking. He really believes that you're a bad person if you smoke marijuana. Increasing penalties for the drug war. Now he's the top lawyer in the country, and guess what? He has the legal authority, if he so pleases, to go into California and say, no more medical marijuana and no more recreational marijuana. It's over. It's done. He can go to Colorado and say that. He can go into Washington State and say that. He can go into all the different places across the country that have decided to legalize not only medical marijuana but recreational marijuana. He can shut both of them down, medical and recreational. Now you say, hold on, Kyle. They legalized those substances. They legalized marijuana in those states. So what are you talking about? The way our government works, the way our country works, you have the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, which says that federal law overrides state law whenever they are in conflict. So if a state says, we have legal marijuana, well, federal law does not say that. Federal law says the opposite. It says it's illegal. So that means federal law overrides state law, and the feds can go in anytime they want, just shut it all down. And now you have the top lawyer in the country is 100% unapologetically on the side of shutting it all down. So all, you know, we can hope for is, honestly, Donald Trump slash Jared Kushner and or Ivanka Trump, who would talk to Donald Trump, saying to him, ex-nay on the Sessions gay, don't fight battles that you're not going to win in public court of public opinion, where 58% of the American people say legalize marijuana everywhere, and you're going to have your attorney general go on a rampage shutting down all these legal marijuana dispensaries? Don't do it. So all we can hope for is that Donald Trump, because of Ivanka and Jared, would talk to Jeff and say, pump your brakes, son. And that's a big if, because Donald Trump has already been willing to go along with draconian ideas that make no goddamn sense. Okay, I'm still not done. Oh, God, I want to be done. I want to be done. I want the pain to stop. This is the last person who should ever be attorney general. He voted no on shifting $11 billion from corporate tax loopholes to education. Another layup of a vote. Hey, do you want to stop letting corporations screw the American people? Do you want to take $11 billion in a corporate loophole? Do you want to take that and put it into education? No, I don't. I would like to keep screwing the people and give the corporations even more money. Thank you, Jeff. We now know where you stand. He voted yes on barring the EPA from regulating greenhouse gases. That's so stupid, I don't even know what to say. Like, the whole point of the EPA is the Environmental Protection Agency. Protecting the environment 101 is to make sure we have regulation on greenhouse gases. Because if we don't, you have an increase in the greenhouse effect. When you have an increase in the greenhouse effect, you have further climate change. When you have further climate change, you have famine and drought and natural disasters, and you have, you know, a refugee crisis where the Middle East empties out, and you have sea level rise, and you have trillions of dollars worth of damage, and so on and so forth. He's like, I don't care. They're against the EPA even existing. That's what you need to understand. But they can't scrap it. So what are they going to do? They say, let's just handicap it. I want to stop the EPA. I want to stop the Environmental Protection Agency from protecting the environment. I mean, that's effectively what this is. Jeff Sessions thinks his backwards ass, who's bought by the goddamn oil companies, knows better about the environment than the EPA, than the scientists and the experts at the EPA. He's an extremist. I mean, the Republican Party, they're an extremist party. Jeff Sessions is one of the leaders of this extremist party. Again, I told you, I struggled to find a single vote where he did the right thing. Okay, more. He voted yes on the Iraq war. Moral guy we're dealing with here. Again, oh, by the way, Don, what happened?
You know, I was against Iraq from the beginning. Iraq, sad, bad, terrible, wrong. Hillary, terrible, bad, sad.
Anyway, my attorney general, did he vote for the Iraq war? Cool, bring him on. Voted yes on a free trade deal with Oman, Singapore, and China. Voted yes on CAFTA. I already told you 75% of the time you voted for these so-called free trade deals. He voted yes on voter ID. So this is where you start to get into the race issues. Voter ID is a ruse. It's a ruse to suppress the vote in poor communities, and this often disproportionately affects communities of color. That's what happens with voter ID. And understand, it's not me saying it. It's many Republicans themselves who've said it. Some of them, they accidentally let it slip in interviews in public, where they said, yeah, I think we're going to win because we just implemented this voter ID law. Oh, shit, did I say that out loud? See, they pretend like, what do you mean? It's just a straightforward thing. We just want people to show ID. This has nothing to do with trying to get us to win and suppress the vote and make Democrats turn out less and get a lower turnout and therefore have a better chance of winning. But then they admit it. They're like, oh, yeah, well, I think we have a better chance because of voter ID. So it is the case. You are doing voter ID because there are many poor people who don't end up getting the right ID, and then they go to show up to vote, and they say, oh, sorry, you don't have the right ID. We're going to have to not let you vote in what's supposed to be a democracy. So the whole idea is to suppress the vote. That's the point. They didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, yeah, you know, this would be a great idea to add another layer that tries to prevent people from voting. They didn't wake up and suddenly have, voter fraud is such a big concern. They've done studies on voter fraud. You're more likely to get struck by lightning twice than have voter fraud. It doesn't happen. It happens one in, over a billion cases or something like that? So it's a solution in search of a problem. But that's the thing. It's not about that. It never was about that. It's about suppressing the vote. Furthermore, he voted yes on allowing lobbyist gifts to Congress. Don't you love it when they wear their corruption on their sleeve? Like, oh, what do you mean? We're going to have a direct vote on whether or not lobbyists can give gifts to Congress? I vote they should be able to give it. Like, that's one of the issues where if you poll the American people, it would be over 90% of the American people, regular people, who say, no, what are you fucking crazy? That's bribery, you idiot. But Jeff Sessions, a Republican in Congress, in the Senate, he says, well, who cares? You know, let me get away with it. Stop, you know, pestering me here. So I want to take some gifts from lobbyists and do favors for them while I screw over the voters. Piss off. He is rated A+ by the NRA. So he never, ever, ever voted for any piece of gun reform, no matter how vanilla, no matter how moderate, even a universal background check, which 92% of the American people support. He goes, I don't care about democracy. I don't care about a background check. I don't care. I don't care. Preventing paranoid schizophrenic people from getting their hands on weapons? Don't care. Not going to do it. He voted no on allowing Medicare to negotiate with pharma for better drug prices. So he's also a pharmaceutical company shill. He voted for the Patriot Act. So again, due process, habeas corpus, throw it out the window. Authoritarian through and through. And this is, again, the go-to vote that describes that and explains that and highlights that. The Patriot Act is non-negotiable in the sense that it is such a clear violation of the Constitution that anybody who voted for it can be accurately described as against the Constitution. He proudly voted for it, and he wears it on his sleeve. He voted against banning chemical weapons. So chemical weapons are illegal under international law. He doesn't care. Hey, look, if it's for other countries, yeah, sure, they can't use chemical weapons. No, they can't use it. Can we use it? Yeah, of course we could use it. Can our allies use it? Sure, they're our allies. If we do something bad, it is by definition good because we're us. So if we use it, if Israel uses it, if we give it to Saudi Arabia and Saudi Arabia uses it on innocent civilians, women and children in Yemen, that's all fine and dandy. But, oh, if Iran has them, rogue state, I think they're ripe for regime change. This is Jeff Sessions. International law, international schlaw. It doesn't apply to us. I don't care. We're almost there, guys. Oh, God, it never ends with this guy, though. It never ends. He was rated 100% by the USBC, which basically means he has a 100% anti-immigration voting record. 100%. Not open to compromise by any stretch of the imagination. We're talking about a guy here to build a wall, kick all the undocumented immigrants out. I don't care if it hurts the economy. I don't care about the humanity of it, the morality of it. I don't care. 100% anti-immigration. He voted yes on privatizing Social Security, so also a big middle finger to the elderly. He voted yes on the Bush tax cuts, so loves the rich, and he voted yes on ending the estate tax, which, of course, the estate tax is probably the single best tax in the country because you're taxing super-duper-duper rich dead people. There's nobody better to tax in a society than super-rich dead people. Because what, are you going to let them pass $1 billion on to their shitty kids who didn't do anything to earn it? So, and by the way, I'm not saying the kids shouldn't get some of an inheritance and still be well off. In fact, they should, and with the estate tax, they are. But you should have, it only applies to people with fucking estates. Do you understand that? So the Republicans have done brilliant marketing on this where they pretend, it's a lie, but they pretend it's not the estate tax, we call it the death tax. So regular people go, oh shit, I'm going to die one day. I want to give my money to my kids. But jackass, it only applies to people who have estates. It's like, it's not even the top 1%. It's like the top 0.1% or something like that the estate tax applies to. They ain't talking about you, bitch. They're talking about the richest of the richest of the rich. And again, the kids are still going to be rich. They're just not going to be obscenely rich. So you take that money, you put it towards education, you put it towards infrastructure, you put it towards a billion other things where it should be, and you give other people an equal opportunity. He's against the estate tax. So understand, Jeff Sessions is an extremist. He is literally one of the most conservative in the Senate. Now he's Attorney General. Like I said, I struggled to find a single issue where he was correct, where he did the right thing by the people, where he agrees with you, the American people. So this is where we are. He's not draining the swamp. I told you guys, he's building a new swamp. That's what this is. He wants multiple swamps. He wants a swamp in the White House, in the Oval Office in the White House. He wants a swipe? Where did that come from? He wants a swamp in the front lawn of the White House. He wants to bathe in that swamp. Jeff Sessions is the swamp. And this is all this is on top of the thing that people are most mad about on Twitter, which is why they keep calling him a racist, which is, you want to talk about saying something about your character. So there was one time Jeff Sessions made a joke. Now, I'm against joke outrage, and I hate even discussing jokes in a serious way. But it does show you something about where he's at on these issues. He joked that he used to like the KKK until he found out some of them smoked weed. Now, again, even if you want to give him a total pass on that, because it's a joke, whatever, that doesn't mean he's sympathetic to the KKK. Well, what does it mean when he told a white civil rights attorney that he's a, quote, traitor to his race? What does that mean? I think you know what it means, and I think I know what it means. Jeff Sessions is the last person who should be Attorney General, and now he is. Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into Donald Trump's new poll on Donald Trump and what his agenda is like and what people think of it. And then we'll get into, a little later on, the Grand Ayatollah starts sniping at Trump. Oh, boy. Buckle the hell up. This is going to be funsies. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back.
fake, so I'm gonna drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You a fake, so I'm gonna drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm
welcome
on
back,
an
bitches.
Island by myself, the left. This shit go left.
We here. Okay. Still got a lot to get to because that entire first 30 minutes was one story. Well, what are you going to do when you have a disaster in America like Jeff Sessions becoming Attorney General? I think it requires that amount of time. By the way, see if you'll find another comprehensive breakdown like that on mainstream media. See if CNN is going to dive into Jeff Sessions' record like that and explain how he basically disagrees with the American people on every issue. You're not going to see it. Very simple. You're not going to see it. Okay. Now let's go to the poll on Trump's agenda. Here we go. New Quinnipiac poll out on Trump's agenda, and I think it basically proves arguments that we've been making since the beginning of the campaign season. So there is an issue where people go, you know what, Trump is right, and we support him on this issue. You know what it is? Trade. So 60% of voters said they were in favor of Trump, quote, renegotiating major trade deals with other countries, even if it means paying more for the products you buy. So you know what this is? This is the American people saying, yeah, that's the main issue where we like Trump the most. Because all the other, you'll see the numbers for the other things don't go anywhere near those numbers. So he axed TPP. I give him credit for that, and I'll continue to give him credit for that. Best thing he's done, axing TPP is great, and I don't think you would have gotten that under Hillary Clinton. So she says, oh, yeah, I'm against it. My guess is she would have tweaked some provisions and then said, oh, it's different now. What do you mean? It's great now. Anyway, let's pass it. Now, with Trump, I had the same fear that, oh, maybe he'll axe it and then he'll just change some provisions and say, oh, it's the Trump trade deal now. It's tremendous. And he'll pass it. Now, as of right now, he killed TPP. I see no indications that he's going to bring it back in some weird way. Maybe there's a chance he will. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And if that's the case, then I'll rip him endlessly. But as of right now, no, he killed it. And so that was one of the main issues that I said he won the election on. Is that, and it's not just, you know, TPP and saying that and saying I'm against that over and over. It's hammering shitty trade deals. Hey, factory towns have been wrecked by, you know, reckless, corrupt politicians shipping our jobs overseas. And understand Trump is a hypocrite because his own stuff is made in Mexico and Turkey and China and elsewhere. So, you know, he personally has outsourced jobs, so there's a strong level of hypocrisy there. But his rhetoric on the campaign trail was so consistent in hammering on those issues that people went, you know, maybe I can overlook all the other horrific shit that he says. So this is vindication for what we've been saying all along, which is many people voted for Donald Trump despite the backwardness on social issues. They voted for him because of the populist economic message and the anti-establishment message. That's not to say some people didn't vote specifically for the backwards social issues and for, you know, hey, deport all undocumented immigrants and ban all Muslims and all that stuff. Some people voted for him because of that. But I would guess that most Trump voters were thinking more, look, I just want to put food on the table and have a better job, and my town is destroyed because our factory's gone. So, and honestly, the voters even go a little further than me here because I fear Trump renegotiating NAFTA. That doesn't mean that NAFTA doesn't need to be renegotiated. It does. It absolutely does. And I'm totally for that. But my fear is that Trump is not the right person to renegotiate these deals because he has such a short fuse and he's so aggressive that it could spark a trade war when he tries to renegotiate deals with China and Mexico, and that's why I fear it. But the American people go even further than me. They say, I don't care, man. Just renegotiate those deals. They're horrible. So I think we should renegotiate them, but we got to go about it in an intelligent way. American people are almost saying, by any means necessary, renegotiate them. All right, so now let's get into some other proposals of his. How many oppose his wall on the southern border? 59%. Damn, that's even more than I would have thought. Because a wall, to me, a wall is just symbolic bullshit. It doesn't mean much. Oh, there's a wall there. okay. But 59% of the American people go, yeah, I oppose it. 50% say don't repeal Obamacare, and only 46% say repeal it. So more people say don't repeal it than repeal it. Keystone XL, which he green-lighted, only 40% approve, 50% oppose. Dakota Access Pipeline, only 40% approve, 50% oppose. Now, another issue where he actually was more popular, believe it or not, was his immigration ban, the de facto Muslim ban from the seven different countries. Remember, it's not me saying that, it's Rudy Giuliani, who said Trump called me and said, how do I do a Muslim ban legally? And they came up with this seven-nation thing. So that was actually popular, believe it or not. But a new poll came out actually this morning. Saw it on Twitter earlier today. And now people are against that. So but it's mixed. We'll give them a mixed one on that. We'll give a split one on that. But on virtually every issue, Donald Trump is opposed. The main one where he supported trade, which is exactly what I've been arguing all along, exactly what many people on the left have been arguing all along. And let's be clear about this mandate, so-called mandate, that they think they have. You don't have a fucking mandate. Now, look, you're president of the United States. That's a fact. We get it. You won based on the rules and based on the system we have set up. So you won by the Electoral College. Nobody can take that away from you. But it is true that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by almost 3 million votes. You know what that means? No fucking mandate. It means most people in the country, more people in the country, say, yeah, I'm with her, not with you. So you had a convincing Electoral College victory, sure, I'm not taking anything away from you on that front, and which is why you're president. But don't pretend like, oh, I can do whatever I want because so many people, so many more people support me. Actually, that's not true. So there is no mandate. You know what you have a mandate to do? You have a mandate to do the individual policies that the American people support. So we've discussed it before, but Bernie Sanders' platform polls the best out of all the different politicians. Why? Because issue for issue, he's with the American people. So, hey, Donnie boy, you want a mandate? You have a mandate to do those things. You have a mandate to do single payer. You have a mandate to do free college. You have a mandate to raise the minimum wage. You have a mandate to raise taxes on the rich. You have a mandate to end the stupid wars. You have a mandate to do the individual policies that the American people support. Don't interpret your victory as, therefore, anything I do is by definition what the American people want. Because we have data on exactly what they want. Yes, you won and you're the president, but on issue for issue, we know what's popular and you should go in that direction. So on trade, well done. On virtually everything else, pump your brakes and maybe consider a different perspective. Okay. Next. All right, here we go. Donald Trump decided to attack the company Nordstrom because they dropped Ivanka Trump's brand. So he took to Twitter, of course, and he said, "My daughter Ivanka has been treated so unfairly by Nordstrom. She's a great person, always pushing me to do the right thing. Terrible." Now, it's bad enough that he's doing that and he's the president of the United States and that was on his personal account, but the official POTUS account for the United States of America, the actual presidential Twitter account that goes into historical records, he retweeted that tweet onto that account. Don, you petty fucking child. What are you doing? That's not a thing. Like, okay, if Hillary Clinton was president and Hillary Clinton tweeted about an unfair deal made by Corporation X against Chelsea, sad. We're going to put pressure on them. Sad. Everybody go, oh, that's the clearest violation of ethics laws I've ever seen in my life. You're the president of the United States, and you're going to publicly pressure a company because you don't think that they treated your daughter right. That's not allowed. You can't do that. You're fucking bullying from the bully pulpit of the president of the United States of America. That office. What are you, crazy? That's not what the office is for, but he doesn't care. So, of course, come to find out, Nordstrom has repeatedly insisted, dude, this has nothing, because they're claiming now, the White House is claiming now, oh, it's, they're persecuting me and victimizing me because of my politics. Nordstrom's like, no, dude, her stuff wasn't selling. Now, it probably wasn't selling because of you, because, you know, you ran for president, and now the Trump name and for at least half of America is fucking toxic, but more than that, because his unfavorability is higher than 50%. So people don't want to buy her shit. They only want to support her because she's associated with you. So, yeah, maybe you had something to do with it, but it was because it wasn't selling. It's not because, oh, yeah, we're against what he's doing, so we're going to make a business decision because we're against something politically or morally. I got news for you, Don. Corporations don't act like that, buddy. They don't go, oh, we have moral objection to this. They go, are we making money or are we not making money? We're not making money, so we're losing on that. Then get rid of Ivanka's brand. We're not going to sell it anymore. And that's what happened. So, look, there are times when Donald Trump has gone after companies for policy reasons. And I defended him when he did that. So if you go after, like he did, he went after, what was it, Raytheon or Boeing or Lockheed Martin, I think it was. He went after a defense contractor. He's like, oh, they're getting money and they're building things we don't need. But this will end. Sad. Or something like that. And I said, look, I felt good about that. Because it's like standing up to the defense contractors in a tweet and then their stock plummeted. And then fucking goofy-ass liberals were like, leave the Boeing's or Lockheed Martin stock price alone. I was like, oh, you weak. This is one thing where he's doing something good, so give him credit. It's okay. So if he's doing it for policy reasons and he's making sense, well, then I'll defend him. When you're doing it for personal reasons for your daughter's shitty brand, no, bitch, you can't do that. So pump your brakes and learn your role. Know your role. Know your role and shut your mouth. But he won't do it. He won't do it. So this is what we're dealing with, a man-child in the White House, and it's going to be like this for at least 4 years. Okay. Next. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer made some outrageous claims. Before I continue, let's just note again for the record that Sean Spicer sounds like a porn star, as does Jake Tapper. So, I would guess if there was an interview between Jake Tapper and Sean Spicer, it would end with a money shot, because that's what it sounds like it would end. And Trump only picked Sean Spicer to be his press secretary because Crystal Juggs was busy. Does anybody else enjoy these corny-ass jokes that I'm just coming up with here? I know, I'm so funny. I have a future in comedy. So, putting aside the fact that his name seriously sounds like a fucking porn star, it's ridiculous. Sean Spicer. Seriously? Come on, man. Like, why would your parents go with Sean for the first name when Spicer's the last name? Sean makes it sound even more fucking porny. Okay, putting that aside for realsies. Okay. So he made some outrageous claims yesterday about the botched military raid that they did in Yemen, which killed massive numbers of civilians. Let's watch that, and then we'll come back and break it down.
Yemen has withdrawn permission from the United States to run special operations ground missions against suspected terrorists in the wake of the recent raid there that claimed so many civilian lives. Does that not undercut the administration's ability to fight terrorism in that region, and do you stand by your assessment that it's a success?
Well, I'll take the last one first. It's absolutely a success. And I think anyone who would suggest it's not a success does disservice to the life of Chief Ryan Owens. He fought knowing what was at stake in that mission, and anybody who would suggest otherwise doesn't fully appreciate how successful that mission was, what the information that they were able to retrieve was, and how that will help prevent future terrorist attacks. I understand that. I think my statement's very clear on that, Kristen. I think anybody who undermines the success of that rage owes an apology and a disservice to the life of Chief Owens. Hold on, Kristen, can I answer the question? I'm answering the question. Please let me finish. The raid, the action that was taken in Yemen was a huge success. American lives will be saved because of it. Future attacks will be prevented. The life of Chief Ryan Owens was done in service to this country, and we owe him and his family a great debt for the information that we received during that raid. I think any suggestion otherwise is a disservice to his courageous life and the actions that he just took. Full stop.
That was disgusting and 100% incorrect. So let's go through this a little bit here. He said the mission was, quote, absolutely a success. You know what happened in that mission? At least 30 civilians were killed. Now, originally they said, it's okay, we got one of the top Al-Qaeda guys. News came out a little bit after, a few days later. Nope. So they go, we got the top Al-Qaeda guy, so it's okay that we got some civilians. But then it turns out you didn't get the top Al-Qaeda guy. Then they said, well, it's okay because we got other Al-Qaeda guys. Haven't really seen any evidence of that either. But we know we got at least 30 civilians, including an 8-year-old girl. Absolutely a success. Could you flip the script? Imagine somebody did that to us. You know, hey, China did a raid in Arkansas in a KKK facility. Making this up, obviously. And they killed 30 civilians. They thought they got one of the top grand wizards of the KKK. But oops, they didn't get the grand wizards. But they did get an 8-year-old girl, an innocent 8-year-old girl. But we also, it's cool, don't worry about it. The mission was still, quote, absolutely a success. No, of course we'd never say that, because it's us. But when it's other civilians, when they happen to be in Yemen and they're poor, whatever, who cares? It's absolutely a success. But then it gets even worse. I don't know how it can get worse than that, but it did. He said, questioning the mission is, quote, a disservice. It undermines the mission in the USA, and you should give an apology to the dead soldier. So a U.S. soldier died in this raid. By that logic, you can't question any military action the U.S. has done. So U.S. soldiers died in Iraq. Is it fair to say, look, if you question it, you're doing a disservice to the troops and a disservice to America, and it undermines the fight, and you should do an apology? But then how the fuck would we ever change from a hawkish strategy? What you're saying is, it's wrong by definition to have a non-interventionist or non-hawkish position. So anytime you say, look, I don't want to go down that road. I think more fighting and more raids are a bad idea because it's not working. You're killing the wrong people. You're radicalizing more people. It's immoral. It's unethical. You're violating human rights, yada, yada. No, anytime you mention that position, it is a disservice to our troops and to the soldiers who died, and it undermines them, and you need to do an apology. Guys, this is the oldest trick in the book. You know, get a war fervor up in the country and then denounce the patriots who are dissenting like they're traitors. Oldest trick in the book. There were Nazi quotes about this is how you do it. It make everybody tie together the war with patriotism and love of country. And then anybody who says, I don't think that's a good idea, traitor, treasonous, you do an apology, you're doing a disservice to the troops, you're undermining the country, you're doing this and that. No, see, these are sleazy, disgusting tricks that you use when you can't discuss the issue on the merits. So what are the merits? What's the evidence? What's the data? You killed 30 fucking civilians, including an 8-year-old girl. So you're the terrorists in this instance. Sorry, not really that sorry. It's the textbook definition of terrorism. And by the way, this is President Donald, let's take out their families, Trump. That's a quote. We have to take out their families. We have to take out their families. Guess what? He just took out their family. So, Spicer's wrong on every point there. And furthermore, he said this prevents future terror attacks. Utter bullshit. Zero evidence of that. They just, when you do something so egregiously wrong and your back's in the corner, you got to come up with something, right? You got to, we got to go on the offense and we got to defend ourselves, deflect the attacks. So what do? It prevents future attacks. Really? How? And if you question it, you're unpatriotic and you're doing a disservice and you're undermining and you should do an apology. Now, maybe you should do an apology. Maybe you should do an apology to the families that lost, you know, their innocent civilian family members and friends in this. Maybe you should do it. Of course not. When we do it, it's right by definition. And there's, you know, not to say that the U.S. soldier who died you know, that we shouldn't feel bad for them and the family because they don't, they're being used as pawns by this grotesque administration. Of course you should feel for them. But notice, no talk about the civilians that were killed. One U.S. death is worth more to these people than 30 innocent civilian deaths in Yemen. So look at the relative value that they put on human life. There's some American exceptionalism for your ass. One of us is worth more than 30 of you innocent people, and including an 8-year-old girl and many women. The moral compass is broken. It's been for a while, but now it's just even more clear that it's broken. Okay. All right, let me take a break. When we come back, I got to squeeze in at least 4 more here for you. But we're going to do that with the Grand Ayatollah of Iran versus Donald Trump, and Facebook announces a progressive policy that we're going to discuss. So we'll talk about that and more. Y'all know the drill. Stay right there, baby. Because of that Jeff Sessions segment, of course. How could I not be? All right. The Grand Ayatollah in Iran, which, by the way, makes me laugh every goddamn time I say it. What is with, I mean, you have to be a ridiculous person with a ridiculous ideology to, like, call yourself something like that. like with the KKK Grand Wizard, or whatever the fuck they call it, Grand Dragon, Grand Poobah, what is all this? And here's Grand Ayatollah. You don't feel ridiculous? You should feel ridiculous. Like this hierarchy and this fucking magical thinking tied to theocracy, and it's like, grow up. You're not, and in Iran, look, you're not fooling the younger generation. Iran is a very young country on average, and of course the younger generation is significantly more secular than the fucking dinosaurs running the country. But they think like, yeah, we got this shit on lock. You call yourself the Grand Ayatollah. Who does that? All right, sorry, I got it. It's just, it's annoying and it's funny. Okay, so the Grand Ayatollah in Iran gave some public comments to military commanders this week, and he basically took some direct shots at Trump after Trump went after him and Iran in general on Twitter. So this is what the Ayatollah said. Quote, he says we should be grateful to Obama. We should be thankful because he brought war and bloodshed to Syria and Iraq, and he supported the 2009 demonstrations here. That's what we should be thankful for. We are thankful to Trump for making our life easy as he showed the real face of America. During his election campaign and after that, he confirmed what we have been saying for more than 30 years about the political, economic, moral, and social corruption in the U.S. ruling system. Okay, so I have a lot to say about this. Now, as a general rule, far-right-wing assholes embolden far-right-wing assholes. So we have our own far-right-wing loon in this country, Donald Trump, who's escalating tensions with Iran, among many other things. And that is going to empower and embolden the right in Iran, because that allows them, the Grand Ayatollah, to turn around to the moderates, like Hassan Rouhani, the president, and Khatami, and he gets to say to them, I told you, you don't make a deal with the great Satan with big bad America because they're not going to abide by it anyway. And by the way, that's actually true. I mean, well, not that we're great Satan and not that they're good, but that we didn't abide by the deal. We violated the deal first. Everybody acts like, oh, Iran, they're the ones who violated it. We had just a few things we had to do. Don't sanction them and give them back their own money. And in return for that, the IAEA gets to go in there and regulate and make sure that they're not enriching uranium to a level that could be used for nuclear weapons. You know what we did? We slapped sanctions on them again. You get two jobs. Give them the money and make sure you don't do sanctions. They did sanctions. Congress approved it like 99-1 or some crazy shit. And they go, it's cool because it's symbolic. Yeah, and then so you fucking spit in their eye for a symbolic reason? That's even dumber. And so and then Iran said, okay, you're going to violate the deal? Fine. Then we're going to do a missile test which violates the deal. And then when they do that, everybody in the U.S. clutches their pearls. Oh, I can't believe Iran violated the deal. Hey, bitch, why don't you give some context to the fact that we violated it first? No, never the context. Blame them. And then, you know, Trump with his short fuse and the neocons in his cabinet and the State Department. Like, oh, we got to escalate now. Sad. Let's put them on notice. Yeah, great idea. So right-wing bigots empower right-wing bigots, and that's what's happening here. Now, furthermore, let's get more specific. So he says, he's saying, you know, to mock the idea, oh, we should be thankful to Obama because he brought war and bloodshed to Syria and Iraq. So, first of all, for the Iraq one, actually, yeah, you benefited from that. So, of course, I'm against the Iraq war, duh, and it was a horrific war crime, hundreds of thousands of dead civilians. We discuss this all the time. But understand, they overthrew Saddam, the Sunni Ba'athist leader in Iraq. Iraq and Iran, they had a war. They were mortal enemies. So you don't think Iran liked the Iraq war? They fucking loved it because we toppled the Sunni Ba'athist, and then eventually you got the Shiite in there, Maliki, you got the Shia. And then they had an allegiance with Iraq. So he's pretending, that's just a lie, that the Ayatollah's like, oh yeah, well, we should be thankful for what happened in Iraq. Actually, yeah, and you are, and your policies show that. So it, to a guy like him, it's like with Donald Trump. With Donald Trump, it doesn't matter what the Iranians do, they're bad because they're Iranians. To this idiot, the Grand Ayatollah, it doesn't matter what the Americans do, they're bad because they're Americans. Right-wing bigots empower right-wing bigots. So he brings it up like, oh, I'm supposed to be happy for Iraq? You are, you fucking idiot. You might be pretending not to be, but you are. Okay, and then in Syria, yeah. So the U.S. has been funding jihadists and they've been funding you know, the Sunni insurgency against the Alawite, you know, Shia Assad regime. So there is a disagreement there. And to the idea that, you know, Trump is putting the real face on what America has been doing for a while, on that one, the Grand Ayatollah, again, I feel so silly saying that, he has a point. Because under Obama, we had two full-scale wars going on, seven interventions total, 90% of the people killed by drones, not the right targets, assassinating American citizens, no due process, no habeas corpus. So a bunch of horrific things, but it is true that the left was asleep. Because, I don't know, Obama's our guy. So it split the left. It made half the left defend Obama no matter what, because right-wingers are so bad that it's like, well, let's just play defense. And then you had the principled left who was like, well, no, let's call out everybody when they do something wrong. I don't care what fucking party they're in. I care about the issues. But now with Donald Trump, you have this guy who's just kind of like, I'm just going to say it. So with torture, he's like, yeah, I'm going to torture. I'm going to torture. I'm going to bring back waterboarding. I'm going to bring back worse than waterboarding. I'm going to torture, quote, even if it doesn't work. That's what he said. You know, I'm going to bomb the shit out of them, talking about ISIS in the Middle East. We're going to take out their families, talking not just about ISIS, but the families of terrorists. And I use terrorists in quotes because I don't trust his judgment to actually figure out who the terrorists are and then who their families are. And it's not okay to kill a family either way. You're killing civilians. That is terrorism. So he's right about that. Like when Trump says, oh, you know, we're going to ban people from these seven different countries. Oh, look at that. They're mostly Muslim countries. Oh, look at that. There's a provision that says, let's favor Christians if we're going to let anybody in. So it is a de facto Muslim ban. Rudy Giuliani said Trump called him and said, how do I do it legally? So when Trump does a Muslim ban, yeah, that puts the face, you know, of the ugliness to the rest of the world. And remember, even under Obama, when they commissioned these polls, hey, who's the biggest threat to world peace? It was the United States by far and away. So here you have this jackass, theocrat, authoritarian bigot, the Grand Ayatollah, who's making a point, and he's actually right about it, which pains me, man. Because, again, when we act like right-wing assholes and we go full speed ahead towards empire and we double down on that position, you think you're being moral. You're not. You're being massively immoral, and the rest of the world knows you're a hypocrite and you're a liar when you say we care about human rights. And, by the way, Saudi Arabia and Israel are our best friends. The permanent occupation state, the permanent apartheid state, and the fucking country that is ISIS that made it, with women as second-class citizens covering them up, they can't drive, and they're bombing women and children in Yemen and hitting mosques and open-air markets and schools for the blind. We support the most vicious regimes. We wage illegal wars, and then we lecture the world about morality. So no, people look at that and they go, what the stop? It's so gross. And he's right when he points that out. But that's the thing is, if we act right, if we stop acting like this around the world, well, then we can rightly point at the fucking Ayatollah who has a theocracy that does oppress women and is massively, you know, anti-liberalism and anti-freedom and anti-liberty. Then we can point it out and we can do it with a clear conscience and say, look, we're acting right, man. We're not killing civilians anymore. We cleaned up our house. We did the right thing. We're unwinding the empire. We're looking out for our own people now. We're not causing havoc and mayhem around the world and jacking natural resources and whatnot. If we get our own house in order and we elect the right people here, well, then, of course, it makes sense. We could point our finger at this guy and say, oh, you're going to criticize us, you fucking fool? You're going to criticize us. Remind me the state of women in your country, how oppressed they are. Remind me how liberals are treated in your country, how secularists are treated in your country, how Baha'i are treated in your country, how minorities are treated in your country. So I wish we had our own shit in order and we had the moral authority to still make these arguments, but unfortunately we're so mired in hypocrisy that it lands on deaf ears, and that's the point. So in some ways the comment makes sense, in other ways it doesn't. But either way, you have a vicious theocrat, far-right-wing asshole, critiquing our far-right-wing assholes. I want to critique all the far-right-wing assholes in all the different countries because they are fundamentally the main problem. Okay. Okay, let's move along here. By the way, I was just reading a tweet there that I got. Well, it was a DM, to be fair. So a lot of people have been talking recently about, hey, I think I'm losing subscribers. Like, people automatically getting unsubbed, and nobody knows why. Now, for a while, I thought that was happening to me, too, but I didn't say anything about it because who gives a shit? It's irrelevant. It's a random number that's on the thing, and it doesn't mean much. But then I saw TJ Kirk, Amazing Atheist, mentioned it, and he's like, yeah, it's been happening to me all the time. Others have been saying the same thing. I had gotten many tweets where people say, I just got unsubscribed from you, like, multiple times. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's up here. I don't think they're targeting, you know, channels that are anti-establishment, if you will, and say things that are not PC. I don't think that's the case. But, you know, I spoke to the tech guy who has been with TYT forever, and he does all, you know, the technological stuff and the internet stuff, and apparently it's actually true. So for a while I felt like, nah, like these people are, I don't know if they're just fucking with me or if, you know, it happened, but there's a logical reason why people were getting unsubbed. But I got enough, like, tweets and comments where I was like, oh, this might actually be happening. Like, this might be a thing where people are getting unsubbed and nobody knows why. And then it actually did kind of start to annoy me because, like, the thing that counts how many subs you add per month, you have that on the back end of all your YouTube channels. So for Secular Talk, it says, oh, you're adding 15,000 subs per month. That's a strong number, right? But then I'd go and look, and it would just be fucking, like, trending around the same number. You know, it wouldn't be adding anywhere near 15,000 a month. I'm like, that's weird. It says I'm adding 15,000 a month. But the numbers, it doesn't go from, you know, 450,000 to 465 in a month. It takes, like, 2 months to get to that, from 450 to 465. So he sums it up. Turns out it's true. So I just heard from the tech guy at TYT that YouTube reached out to him, and they're like, yeah, there's, like, massive unsubs happening, and we don't know why. So anyway, I'm saying all this. If you happen to see this, just keep resubbing. Just keep resubbing, and I don't know. I guess they're working on a fix and trying to get it right, but it's not in all of our imaginations. It's not in your imagination. It's not in my imagination. Apparently, it's happening with a bunch of channels. There's just random unsubs happening. So hopefully YouTube will get their shit taken care of, and we won't have to deal with that problem anymore. All right, now Facebook. Facebook CEO Sheryl Sandberg announced yesterday that they're going to give all of their employees 6 weeks of paid family leave. So that's good. I mean, good policy they implemented here. And actually, I'm wrong. This was 2 days ago, I think, they announced this. So they did a whole event over it, and they spoke about it and why they're doing it. And what's interesting is, so this is generating praise, I think rightfully so. But I find it funny how low the bar is in the U.S. Because to other modern nations, that's such a duh, and this is damning with faint praise. Like, oh, one of the biggest, richest companies decided, we're going to be kind and give you 6 weeks paid family leave. How kind of you. Like, oh, so sweet. Please, don't go above and beyond. Because in every other modern nation, I'm not kidding, every other modern nation, they have paid time off by law. So think about that. You can take time off. Some places it's 6 weeks, some places it's more, some places it's less, but you take time off and you get paid, and it's by law, so they can't fire you. They can't say, oh, look, I want to take off from this time to this time, this day to that day. I want to take off this month, whatever it may be. And they're not, the company is not allowed, the business is not allowed to say, well, we're going to fire you if you do that. It's paid time off by law. So in the U.S., we're the only modern nation that doesn't have paid time off by law. And when you zero in specifically on paid family leave, which is a little different from, like, paid vacation time, but paid family leave, we're one of only three countries total that don't offer paid maternity leave by law. The others are Oman and Papua New Guinea. So this goes back to one of the main things that I talk about all the time, which is you don't even really know how screwed you're getting. You don't know, because they're not going to teach you this in school. You're not going to go to public school and they're going to say, oh, by the way, here's how much the government is fucking you. They're not going to say that. Because, look, they are the government. This isn't conspiratorial thinking. It's just, why would they put that in the curriculum? Putting something negative about the U.S. and overwhelmingly positive about other modern nations, when they're trying to pitch the idea that we're number one. When you show them we're last, we're with Oman and Papua New Guinea on paid maternity leave, when you show them that we're literally last on, paid vacation time or paid time off, people are going to go, what the fuck? So if you're going to have a capitalist system, you have to regulate it efficiently. And one of those regulations should be, yeah, paid time off by law. I mean, we're human beings. You're not just this fucking entity that's living to make money and be a fucking worker ant for your corporate overlords. So what a ridiculous existence that is. So yes, we should have paid time off by law. We should have paid family leave by law. We should catch up to all the other modern nations. And I'm happy Facebook is doing this, but U.S. government, wakey, wakey. I mean, what are you thinking? So, Don, are you going to do something about this? Of course not. I don't even know. I'm barking up the wrong tree here by bringing that up. But even under the Democrats, there's no push in that direction. So it's a sad fact of reality, but I think it's time for all of us to rise up and push for these policies because they're common sense policies and they're good for everybody. JusticeDemocrats.com. I mean, that's the answer. That's what we're pushing for. That's in our platform, and we're running candidates to take over the Democratic Party, take it back from corporations, and give it to the Bernie wing, which is where it should have been all along. All right, next. Raw Story has an article about some Arkansas GOP politicians, and they may have broken some sort of irony record here. So they explain, Republican lawmakers in Arkansas have granted preliminary approval to a bill apparently aimed at Sharia, or Islamic law, after passing a law that would allow fathers and parents to block a woman from having an abortion. State Representative Brant Smith introduced HB 1041, which won approval Thursday from a House Judiciary Committee. That's unbelievable. The name of the bill was American Laws for American Courts. Yeah, we also kind of have that already by definition, you fucking idiots. They continue, Smith's bill narrowly defines marriage under the Arkansas Constitution, which specifically bans same-sex unions but was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court in 2015. All right, so here's why this is hilarious. So they pass a bill that says, okay, fathers and parents can block a woman from having an abortion. They have in their anti-Sharia bill something that reaffirms a ban on gay marriage. Now, that's unconstitutional. The Supreme Court already ruled, so it doesn't mean anything because it's a state law that's going to be overridden by federal law. But they have in their anti-theocracy bill theocracy. They had just passed a theocratic law that says, you know, the parents can control the daughter because we're against abortion because Jesus and God's against abortion. The Bible's against abortion. By the way, it's actually not. But they think it is. Oh, the Bible, God. So because of the Bible, we're going to say you can't get an abortion and the parents can stop you. They won't stop you. We ain't going to let the gays get married. We can't do it. And the Bible says that's wrong. Let's pass a bill against Sharia law. So you want to stop Islamic Sharia and implement Christian Sharia. It's amazing the disconnect these fools have. We're against religious law, unless it's all religious law, in which case we love religious law. No, you got to be against all religious law. And hey, assholes, it's not a problem in Arkansas. Sharia is not about to take over Arkansas. American laws in American courts is already the case. It is already unconstitutional to have theocracy in the United States. We have secularism built into the government, built into the country. It's built into the Constitution. We have a separation of church and state. But they say, let's separate mosque and state, but church and state, let's actually marry it. you guys, this reminds me of the Republicans who scream about free speech, free speech, free speech, free speech. And then Donald Trump tweets, you know, about a month ago or so, like, we should punish people for burning the American flag. And all the Republicans are like, yeah, wait, you guys were just ranting about how you love free speech. Now you support the most anti-free speech, anti-First Amendment, anti-free protest position ever. Really? That, like, you're burning the American flag is that's like the heart of the First Amendment and what it protects. We love the First Amendment, except when we don't. They always scream, oh, free speech on college campuses. Well, there's been a massive crackdown on pro-Palestinian groups that do pro-Palestine activism. They said, oh, it's anti-Semitic by definition. What? They're just saying they want to be for Palestinian human rights. It's anti-Semitic to be for Palestinian human rights. So a lot of college groups are set up around that, and then they're banned. And all the free speech warriors say, free speech, free speech, free speech. They just ban the free speech of pro-Palestinian activists. Oh, I don't care. I have nothing to say about that one. So you're fucking hypocrites, man. You're fucking hypocrites. Elizabeth Warren was just shut down. She was quoting Coretta Scott King about Jeff Sessions. Mitch McConnell said, invoking Rule 19, shut the fuck up. We're banning you from talking. All the free speech words, the right-wing ones, who say, oh, yeah, we care about free speech. Oh, they're silencing Elizabeth Warren? We love that. This is the same kind of shit. We're against Sharia. Now let's implement our Sharia. Be consistent. Be secular across the board. Don't say my wizard in space gets to make the rules and I get to implement the laws based on my interpretation of my wizard in space, but Muslims and their wizard in space, not evil, wrong, bad. No, you're both wrong. Theocracy is wrong across the board. Secularism is correct, and let's try to be consistent. Okay. Next. Shit, I got something in my throat. I was trying to talk and then I had like a piece of lint. You know what? I want to do the throwback clip. I got just enough time for it, so I'm going to do it. But guess who it is? The Chomsker, Noam Chomsky. Here we go. So I was surfing YouTube last night because I'm just like all of you. Boy, do I love me some YouTube. I got sucked into the vortex though and I can't escape. That happens to me with a bunch of things. There's the YouTube vortex, which I can't escape. And then, semi-embarrassed to admit, I get sucked into the HGTV vortex. If I start watching those flip or flop episodes, 3 hours later, I emerge. I'm like, what just happened? So, it happens with a bunch of things. But I was looking at some videos, and then I saw in recommended section, Noam Chomsky segment popped up, and it said, Noam Chomsky on Karl Marx. I'm like, oh, it's interesting. Let me see what he had to say about Karl Marx. So I wanted to share that short clip here with you and then discuss it.
Marx himself was a complex figure, the early Marx. So you read the philosophical manuscripts and so on. This is coming straight out of the French and German Romanticism. So the kinds of ideas you find expressed in Humboldt and in the more libertarian side of Rousseau and so on. So take the libertarian as part of Rousseau, the second discourse on inequality and Humboldt and so on. All of this that's the background in which Marx grew up. And if you read the philosophical and economic manuscripts of the early period, they're immersed in this. So his theory of alienation comes out of this. Work, coerced labor, is alienating and counter to human nature precisely for these reasons, for the Humboldtian reasons. When you get to later Marx, it's sort of like a scholarly debate about whether he changed his mind or just started talking about other things. But anyway, you don't find it any longer. And by that time, Marxism does become, exactly as you say, very detrimental to this. So you get this idea, which you do find in Marx, but he couldn't have believed it, that human nature is just a historical product. And people are just malleable. They're made what their culture turns them into. You get this even in people like Gramsci, who was one of the more libertarian Marxists. But this idea that humans are simply formed by the environment and they are nothing but clay, passive clay in the hands of their molders, that's an idea which is very attractive to radical intellectuals because they think they're going to be the molders, of course, And it does become a kind of orthodoxy. And the earlier views of, are either forgotten or marginalized, although they're certainly there in Marx, and they certainly are in the tradition that he came from.
There's a lot to be learned from Marx.
So that's a fascinating point and a really interesting conversation, because when you think about it, there are two extreme positions, and there happens to be, you know, the two different far ends of the spectrum reflect this. So on the far left, you have the idea that Noam Chomsky just pointed out, and specifically this is for, you know, like Marxists, communists, the idea that human nature isn't even really a thing. It's all nurture. So in the nature versus nurture argument, it's just 100% on the side of nurture. And you have human beings that are basically molds of clay, and they are totally shaped by their environment and totally shaped by society and culture. And, you know, as a result of that, you can basically make human beings totally communal, open beings who are not interested in greed or selfish pursuits. And, you know, the nature of man can be molded in a way where, you know, you make us totally benign and altruistic. And that's where you get, you know, an ideology like communism, this idea of from each according to his ability to each according to his need. So, you know, you work what you can for the people, and then you take what you need, and we can all live happily in this communal collectivist society. And we're able to do that because there is no fundamental human nature where, you know, we are in competition with each other, and there is greed and selfishness. And you can, because you're a mold of clay and everything is nurture and taught to you, you can be taught certain things, and then those become the inexorable values you have. That's the far left position. Now, the far right position is effectively the opposite. Nurture affects almost not at all, and it's all nature. And on the far right position, you know, this is where you get, like, I mean, face it, like, Nazi ideology. The idea of, like, there's this rigid hierarchy of the kinds of human beings and who's superior and who's inferior. And there's just genetic superiority among the Aryans, the Germanic folk. And you go down the list, and at the bottom is the evil Jews. They're genetically inferior, and then the blacks are down there. And, you know, so the rigid hierarchy of, like, forget nurture. It doesn't matter how well you raise somebody who's from the lower caste. They're just lower caste, and they're a different breed of person. And genetics and DNA are what they are, and everything is nurture. And excuse me, everything is nature, and nurture is irrelevant. So those are the two, like, extreme positions there. And that's what Chomsky is talking about. And I actually, when I was a college student, I emailed Noam Chomsky, because I heard, hey, he, like, responds to everybody. That's actually true. He does. So I got his email. I don't remember how. I think one of my professors or something, who is far left, way left of me. So he gave me his email, and I, you know, started reading some Chomsky books and watching some stuff, and I thought he was a fascinating guy. So I emailed him, and I asked him a question, because in my psychology class, we were talking about this nature versus nurture debate. It's one of the things you talk about, obviously, in, like, psychology 101 or whatever it is. Somebody asked the teacher, like, well, what do you think? Like, do you think it's more nature or nurture? And the teacher basically said, I think it's mostly nature, and nurture pokes at it. In fact, I think that's exactly what she said, because I remember it vividly. And at the time, I think my ideas weren't as developed, and I hadn't thought through it. I didn't know as much. I didn't read as much. So, you know, my gut reaction to that was no. In fact, I thought it was, like, the opposite. I thought it was, like, it's mostly nurture, and nature pokes at it. So I was more leaning towards that far-left position. So I emailed Professor Chomsky, and I said, hi, Professor Chomsky, my name is Kyle, yada, yada, yada. And then I said, you know, in my psychology class, we're discussing nature versus nurture. And my professor said she thinks it's mostly nature and nurture pokes at it. What are your thoughts on this? Is this as off base as I think it is? Because I tend to think it's mostly nurture and nature pokes at it. And his response was basically, I never really understood the debate because in my mind it's patently obvious that it's neither one, and you're setting up a false dichotomy of it's either nature or nurture. He says, I think it's a mix. It's a giant mix. Some things are all nurture and cultural, you know, and you're taught and you're molded. And other things are nature. And it just is what it is, and it's kind of hardwired into you. And, you know, on some issues, it's a mix within the one issue. On some issues, it's all nurture. On other issues, it's all nature. But it's all a giant amalgamation and a mix of nurture and nature. And when he said that, it clicked, and I was like, ah, that's right, that's true. So now, and I've been saying that ever since, that because I think he's right. That argument made sense to me, that, yeah, it's almost a fool's errand to even have the conversation of, is it nurture or nature? It's a mix of them. It's a mix of them. And so this is a long-winded way of me saying the political extremes, it's not the answer. It's so some sort of fascist authoritarianism that assumes everybody just is what it is and it's all nature and there's no such thing as nurture. And okay, that's a horrible system, and history proves it. Those systems fail, and they're disgusting, and they commit vicious atrocities. But the flip side is true, too. You know, the far left, the authoritarian left position, communism, the idea that you're just a mold of clay and we can shape you. Well, it turns out you can't 100% shape somebody because you're not just a mold of clay. You're more than just a mold of clay. There's a mix of clay in there, and then also, yes, there's some nature, too. So the answer is not communism. The answer is not fascism. The answer is not the extremes. The answer, as far as I see, and this is me talking now, this isn't Professor Chomsky, because I don't think he agrees with me on this conclusion. I think he's more of a libertarian socialist or an anarcho-syndicalist. We don't need to get into those terms now. But for me, the answer is, oh, okay, so if we're a mix of all those things, well, then you need a system that fosters both things. So that's why you have something like social democracy, where you have, you know, socialism to an extent to create the floor for people where there's a minimum you don't go below, where, you know, the basics are taken off the table because we're civilized people. Healthcare, education, infrastructure, you know, roof over your head, shit like that, taken care of. That's the socialism aspect. And then the capitalism aspect, the competition aspect, you know, that's there as well. So that once we have the ground floor met and we have the basics met, well, then you guys could have competition. There's nothing wrong with a free market and competition to create the best video game or, you know, create the best consumer good. It's fine. That's totally fine. So there's nurture and there's nature. It's a mix of the two, and you need a system that fosters this in humans and doesn't try to deny the reality of it. If you try to deny that we're a mix of nurture and nature, then you're going to create a system that's terrible, which is what happened when you had people who thought it's all nurture, communists, and you had people who thought it's all nature, fascists. So obviously you guys can tell this is something I've thought about a lot, and curious to see what you guys think of it, but, you know, Chomsky weighing in on this kind of led to that epiphany for me, and he's the one that opened my eyes that, well, it's not all nurture, it's not all nature, it's a mix of it. Okay. All right, guys. Love y'all. Out of time. We will see you tomorrow. Mwah. Peace.